You know, when I buy seed and put it in the ground, I'm not really thinking a whole lot of, is that seed going to produce, is that seed going to reproduce? It just does. Seed just reproduces. What I'm concerned about is creating a healthy environment for that seed to avoid stresses. Because I know that and we all know that if you plant seed and keep it healthy, it's going to reproduce. So that's really, kind of, I was thinking about, that's our mission here at Gateway, is to provide healthy environments. That's one reason why we have Fresh Encounter and why we do the different things. We want to create a healthy environment so there can be reproduction happen naturally.
It's amazing how the Lord works. Just what Willard had to share and what Joe had to share this morning goes right along with what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. About a month ago, Tim asked me to preach this Sunday. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. He asked me to preach on the topic of preparing your heart to receive from the Lord. And as I prayed about that, I wondered, what is the problem with receiving? We love to receive, don't we? If we don't receive from those we're in relationship with, we start to wonder what's going on. But my premise to you this morning is so many of us struggle with receiving from God for so many issues. And I don't have time to expand on each of those this morning. Not that I would understand, but the Lord led me this morning to the parable of the sower. And it's a hard word. The parable of the sower is a hard word. You know, the Bible talks directly about the responsibility teachers and preachers have. And I feel that, in fact, I think my family would probably be able to identify when I start to feel the weight of the 30 minutes that I get here on the Sunday mornings that I get to share with you. And I start to disengage and get antsy. And you will probably notice that on the Sundays that I don't preach, I'm much more engaged with you personally. I walk around and I shake hands and I pray for people and I talk to you. And on the mornings that I do have the privilege of sharing God's word, it's heavy on my heart. And we see in our culture today and in Christianity, we see preachers that take advantage of the word of God for their own gain. We see preachers that even take advantage of women with their position. We see men and women that do it for the wrong reasons. And so God does have a lot to say about us that preach and teach. In fact, he said, if any of you would offend these little ones with what you do or teach or preach or say, it's better for a millstone to be tied around your neck and you to be cast into the sea. So, as you know, God has a lot to say about the sower. But in this passage we're going to look at this morning, God says nothing to the sower. The sower goes out to sow his seed. And as Jesus unpacks this to his disciples, you know, in this passage, it's pretty, I don't know if you want to call it discouraging, it's pretty discouraging to see that the guys that hang around with Jesus the most need the word of God explained. I mean, you know how you hear amens in the congregation and when you're preaching and teaching and people go, yeah, that's right, I agree. Well, in this passage, we see that after Jesus shared this teaching with the people, the disciples, I don't know how they acted when they were engaged with the crowd, but when they got alone, they said, hey, Lord, explain this to us. So that gives me more encouragement this morning than anything, because I realize sometimes that I'm supposed to be the guy that understands and can preach and teach, and sometimes I don't, and it's okay. It's okay, right? So, all that being said, there is a heavy weight on those of us that preach and teach. And many of you know that. There are better preachers than me in the room this morning. And so, I want you to know, on those Sundays when I don't engage you, it's not because I don't love you, it's because my mind, I guess it comes down to this. I can surmise it in this nutshell. I would rather be unpopular and have a small church than not say what the Lord lays on my heart. I would rather give a hard word with gentleness and love and say what I think God is saying than to have people like me or agree with me. And fortunately with you, that's not the case. But I know this morning that some things that we have to say are death to people, and some to some people it's life. Does that make sense? Some things are death to people and some things are life. And I know this morning that some people are going to think it was great and some people are going to think it was not so great and some people are going to think I'm off my rocker. So that was a long introduction, wasn't it? The people who knew Jesus the best sometimes had no idea what he was talking about. I feel like I'm in that camp often. Here we go. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand.' Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in times of testing they fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience." God, I pray that your word would not be hindered this morning. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. And Lord, I pray that the soil of our hearts would be fertile and ready to receive this morning. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking maybe I should get Willard to come up here to share about the parable of the sower, because I hear people say all the time, man, he's a great farmer. Willard, if you just doubled what you put in the ground, you wouldn't be happy, would you? No, you wouldn't. So even what God has created in nature tells us that he expects a harvest. Because if we just doubled what we put in the ground as farmers and gardeners, we wouldn't be happy. And I don't think God is happy when that's the results that we have. Let's look at the Word of God this morning. It's interesting to me that it's innate to mankind, not just farmers, to plant, isn't it? I don't know why. There are some years when I wonder why I piddle around with a garden. But every year, maybe it's for the love of my wife, but every year we plant a garden. And you know what? I see so many houses that even though they don't have a garden, they've planted something around their house. It's very few houses or people's places that you see that they haven't planted something, isn't it? So I think that even though this parable doesn't speak to the sower goes out and sows his seed. Even though this parable doesn't speak to how he does it, God expects it. He expects us to sow. That's the way he designed us. That's the way he made us. Austin said this morning, we want to overflow. We want to be so full that we overflow. And that's the way it has to be, isn't it? God expects us to plant. He expects us to sow. But one of the hard words that God gave me this week is that we are responsible for what type of soil it falls on. And the first thing we see is the soil of the path. Now, we've all seen pathways, haven't we? And in the land of Israel, we would see, but you would see, it's rocky soil. It's rocky soil. I'm amazed. I'm continually amazed at the blessing of God on that land. Because to the human eye, it would look like rocky, unfertile soil, but it's not. It produces a harvest. But there was the pathway where people would walk, and that path would get trampled down. The wayside, the Bible calls it in another passage. The thing that that stood out to me about the path is this. What do we do as a church? What do we do as the people of God? What do we do as brothers and sisters in Christ to trample down the path? What part do we play in trampling down that soil? And I think we need to look at that this morning. As we sow, are there ways and methods we use that make the path hard? So we can't just blame the devil. I mean, the devil's task is to steal, to lie, and to destroy. And the parable tells us that's what he does in this circumstance. But what do we do as the church to harden the soil of people's hearts? What do we do to trample it down? And I want you to think about that this morning. You know, as we go out to sow, what part do we play in that? Even though the parable doesn't address that, I think we play a big part in the receptivity of people to our message. And so what do we do to create a path in people's lives and trample down the soil? What's the difference between criticism and discernment? Is there a difference? Yes, I believe discernment is a gift of the Holy Spirit. I believe discernment is something that comes from the Holy Spirit. Criticism is something we manufacture. And so often, I have a critical spirit towards people. So often, I don't allow... You know, it came to me as I was studying this text. So often in my past, I've run to other men, to other people for advice. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But how often do I run to Jesus and say, Lord, what do you think? Unpack this person for me. You tell me what you think about this person. What do I need to see in their lives so I can sow into their lives, so I can speak truth into their lives? You know, so often I don't do that. I run to another person and say, what about this person? And that's, the difference between criticism and discernment. Discernment is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Criticism is something we do when we rely on seeing people from our own perspective. And I'm guilty of that so often. And so pray for me that I don't do that, because I might be dealing with a situation in your life. I thought that was funnier than you did. Okay, time for another drink of water. Weston, I'm amazed you didn't speak up on that one. Weston just harasses me because he loves me. That's his way. That's way his way of showing affection. I've just told him it probably won't work too well on his wife. Was that trampling down the path, Weston? All right. So let's ask the Lord for the gift of discernment when we speak into people's lives, when we sow truth into their lives. Let's be careful of being overly critical with people. So the path, the wayside, is the first type of soil. The second type of soil we see Jesus talk about here is the rocky soil. And again, I talked about the topography in Israel and how it's a rocky soil, and yet how they get amazing yields from that soil. But we've seen where there's soil that's rocky. There's no depth. I look at the equipment that, you know, I'm just a wannabe farmer, but I look at the equipment that the real farmers drive up and down the roads today, and all of them have these big, long things that dig down deep into the soil to dig up the hard pan, to dig up the rocks and create depth. And I believe the rocky soil is that soil that has no depth. And this is sort of a hard word also. You know, so many of us go back to a place where we responded to an invitation and we said a prayer, and or maybe we walked to the front of the church and we made a commitment. And I'm not downplaying that, but in so many people's lives, they do that for the wrong reasons. And they do that because that seemed to be the right thing at the time, but we don't see any depth or growth. We don't see any the process of digging deeper and growing deeper in Jesus. And so I guess what I'm saying to you this morning, and it may not be popular, is the Bible tells us to examine ourselves, to examine our hearts. And we need to take a hard look at that. Is there depth? So when temptation and trial comes, have you often wondered why people fall away? Have you often wondered about that age-old debate? You know, were they really saved, or were they saved and they fell away? Or have you ever wondered about that? Why do people fall away? Because there's no depth. There's no depth. You know, I was sitting in my tree stand yesterday, and I don't know when the last hurricane came through here. But as I was sitting there, not seeing any deer, but meditating and praying and having a good time, well, I might have to do that. I don't think he wanted me to come over and shoot some of his deer. Anyway, as I was sitting there in my tree stand, I noticed numerous small sapling trees that were bent over and some blown over. And yet there were strong, big oaks and maples and trees that endured the same wind. Why is it that we fall away when temptations and trials come, when things get hard, when things get tough? You know, I talked a couple weeks ago about having a theology of suffering and why God does what he does in our lives and why he allows what he allows. I don't have the answer for that completely. But I know that all the trees that were around my tree stand withstood the same wind and the same pressure. And some of them were blown over, and some of them were bent over, and some of them weren't. Because the ones that have dug down into the ground for nourishment and have depth don't get blown over. And that's the way it is in our lives, isn't it? And so I would challenge you this morning. What are you doing to produce depth in your life? Are you allowing people to speak into your lives? How do you approach the Word of God when it comes? Do you say, that's not for me, or I don't have to deal with that? Or do you decide to allow it to soften up that fallow ground, that rocky ground, and put deep roots down deep? So that's the rocky ground. The next is the thorns, the weeds. Isn't it amazing how weeds grow in good or bad soil? They grow no matter what, don't they? No matter what type of soil it is, the weeds and the thorns grow. They don't need to be tended. You know, Jesus explained that this soil was the soil where the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches had choked out the word. How often that happens in our lives. The Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing. It tells us to cast our cares on him, for he cares for us. And yet so often I see people fall away and get bitter because of the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of this riches. You know, the Bible says that in latter days, men's hearts and women's hearts will wax cold, and people will become what? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now listen, God gave pleasure. He created pleasure. God is the creator of pleasure. So this isn't a discourse against pleasure. But what does the Bible say? When we become lovers of pleasure. You know, I'm amazed today what myself and what I see people trade an intimate, deep walk with Jesus for. They trade it for things that I just don't understand. And I want to say to you young people this morning, don't trade intimacy with Jesus for intimacy, ladies, with a man who can't lead you. Men, Don't trade, young men, don't trade intimacy with Jesus for intimacy with a woman who can't be your helpmeet, who isn't a godly woman. Don't do that. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? I'm amazed at how people trade the real for the counterfeit. I'm amazed at how many people don't even know what counterfeit is. Why do we do that? Why do we let the deceitfulness of pleasures and riches of this world choke out what God has sown in our heart, and we become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God? And I want you to ask yourself this morning, how do I allow that in my life? What does that look like? I can't define it for you. Only you can define it. I can't do it. Like I told you a few weeks ago, things are going a lot better since I decided not to do the Holy Spirit's job. I still default back to my previous settings at times, but that's not my job. I'm amazed at how many people trade a God-honoring relationship with their husbands or wives for things that aren't satisfying, for things that don't fulfill. I see it again and again, and I wonder why. You know, I think part of the problem is so many of us think we're going to do it my way, and I'm not going to let anybody tell me any different. And you know, there's a balance there between having people speak into your life and hearing from the Holy Spirit of God. I like what Tim had to say. You know, he said that when a word is delivered, we go to the Holy Spirit, and then we get a confirmation, not only from the Holy Spirit and from others, but so often we just decide, we look at God with our arms folded, and we stand back and say, Lord, that's not for me. Or we go and we try to justify it. We try to say, well, that's not really what it says. Or why do we do that? Why do we do that? I'm going to do it my way. Then he talks about the good soil. I don't think this is a mathematical parable, but it amazed me that only one in four was productive soil. Did you ever think about that? Only one in four was productive soil. But when the seed landed on the good soil, it produces a yield, a crop. And again, it's not just one for one or one for two. It produces a bountiful harvest. You know, when you have good soil, you ever think of those times when you're listening to the Word of God, or you're listening to a sermon, or you're listening to a song, or you're listening to someone else even, or you're just listening to God, and God lays something on you, and you know it's for you. You have those times, don't you? And when that lands on good soil, we don't start the process of justification. We confess that I'm sinning in that area, and we repent. You know, this is sort of what God has communicated to me, and I want to communicate this to you. It's okay not to be okay. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to have issues. It's okay to sin if we repent. It's not okay to be a liar. It's not okay to lie about it. And can you lie to God? You can't lie to God, but I'm amazed at how often I try. I try on a regular basis. So it's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to be a liar. And that's where the Holy Spirit of God comes in. And when we have been diligent about what type of soil we are and how we hear, as Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says. We don't start that process of justification. We confess that I'm sinning in that area of my life. We confess that we've not given that area up to God. And we're honest with ourselves and with God. I have not walked in what God has commanded me to walk in. You know, I often have what I call a delayed obedience issue. My question to you is it obedience if we delay it? Is it obedience? And we often suffer for that, don't we? Because we delay our obedience. I'm amazed at how clear God can be with me at times. And yet, I try real hard to work myself out of it. And so when that seed lands on good soil, we don't do that. We say, Lord, I want to receive from you. I want to hear. I want to allow your word not to return void. Now, what are the things that would stop us from receiving from God? And I've four that I picked, and I'll finish up with this. It's already 12:04. You know, pride might be a great slogan on a bumper sticker, but it doesn't work well in the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Pride might be a good thing on a bumper sticker, and I see it often, the power of pride.
Yes.
The power of pride has led me into a lot of places I really didn't want to be. And so it might look good in a slogan or a bumper sticker, but I'm here to tell you this morning, church, that pride has no place in the kingdom of God. It has no place in our relationships. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are to clothe ourselves with humility towards one another. What does that mean? It means we're to put on humility. Because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And grace is what makes it all work, isn't it? So even when we don't want to, even when we're saying in our spirit, no, God, no, I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that to that person. I'm not asking for forgiveness. Even when that's what our inner being is saying, when we clothe ourselves with humility towards others, then God pours out his grace on us. There's no place for pride, and I believe that is the biggest thing that stops us from receiving from God. Pride is when we think we know best. Pride is when we think we understand. Pride is when we think nobody else can tell us anything. That's why I'm so glad that we have these special teachings and meetings when other people come in from outside our four little nice walls here and speak truth into our lives. It takes humility to hear from other people, and we're to clothe ourselves in that. And I struggle with that, church. I do, because I'm the kind of guy that thinks, my natural tendency is I think I know it all. I'm a know-it-all. Hasn't worked real well for me. It hasn't worked real well for me. So humility. The Bible tells us to clothe ourselves with humility. The second thing I see that stops us from receiving from the Lord is unforgiveness and bitterness. I see so many people, and I've struggled with this also. I see people walking around weighted down by the yoke of unforgiveness and bitterness. Listen, forgiveness is for you. It's for you. Unforgiveness is such a heavy yoke to carry around. That's why Jesus died. That's what grace is all about. Forgiveness. And when we harbor unforgiveness towards people and say, oh, I can't forgive that person. All you do is hinder yourselves from receiving grace from God. You hinder your relationship and your walk with Him. Don't do it, church. It's a trick of the enemy. How soon we forget the bait of Satan. Don't do it. Let Him pour His grace out on you so you can forgive. Because when bitterness comes, it's like acid. And it burns only you and those that are close to you. The Bible says, it's when bitterness springs up, it defiles many. And it's so true. So don't let unforgiveness stop you from receiving from God. If you're bitter towards someone, it will hinder the way you hear and receive from God. So pride, unforgiveness, bitterness. The third thing I see, and this is a big one, it's fear. Fear. We fear what we don't understand, don't we? We fear what we've never seen before. We fear what we don't like. We fear when someone disagrees with us. God doesn't use fear to communicate anything to us. And I'm not talking about if I went out there and played in Route 13 in the middle of a busy day. God put an innate sense of fear in me to protect myself. But He doesn't use fear to communicate to us. He doesn't scare us into believing. That's not the way He works. So fear is a big one. That stops us from receiving from God. And the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. When we know we're loved, we're going to struggle less and less with fear. We know it to be true, don't we? But that's a big one. The last thing I see is this. Not inclusive, the last thing, but the last thing we're going to talk about is unbelief. You know, the Bible says unbelief is a sin. We're to confess unbelief. And so often I come at God with that posture. You know, when I hear a preacher saying things that, I sort of fold my arms and say, you know what, I'm not even going to hear this guy out. And it's unbelief. It's unbelief. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal those areas of unbelief in our lives, because that will hinder us from hearing and receiving from God. Now, in conclusion, Philemon, verse 6. You all know that Philemon only has one chapter, right? So that's why it's Philemon, verse 6. It says this: I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good gift we have in Christ. I pray that you may be active. Why did Paul say that? Why didn't he tell him? Why didn't he preach it to him? Because it's another one of those things that God has to do with you. Church, there are times, I had an experience on my last two trips where I just wanted to blend in. I just wanted to go under the radar. I didn't want to engage. But God gave me clear opportunities to engage. And there are times when I go, really, Lord? Really? I just want to be one of the crew on this trip. And God says, because of me, you have the words of life. Because of my grace, you have the words of life. And church, it's great that we have these fresh encounters and we have these teachings and we have all that we have inside these four walls. But if it doesn't give us what we need to take it outside of here, we're going to miss it. Not only are others going to miss it, but we're never going to fully comprehend every good gift we have in Christ if we don't share our faith. So if all the information and if all the things we're getting are not motivating us to have it pour out onto others, even when it's uncomfortable, even when we don't want to, then we're missing something. And so that's my challenge to you this morning. If we're good soil and we're receiving the Word of God and it's producing a fruit, it's going to affect others, isn't it? You don't grow your crops just to have them sit in the field, do you, and drive by and go, boy, that's a good crop. That's not why he does it. There's benefit, there's life in that crop. And so, church, that's what I'm saying to you this morning. I think that's the true test of what kind of soil we have. It's what spills out on others when we're knocked, when we're bumped. And I'm not talking about sinless perfection here. I'm talking about it will be evident in our lives if there's good soil there, if God is producing a harvest in our lives. And I pray that each of you have continued opportunities to share with people. It's not always going to be comfortable. You know, on my last trip, Joe, I went to Zurich, and the captain had never been there before, so you'll be proud of me. I took him to the Gross Munster. I took him to Zwingli Court, and I showed him. He was very interested, and we got talking about the Reformation, and I got a chance to share my faith with him and say, look, Dave, it comes down to this for me. Jesus either was the Son of God. He's either the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by him, or he's the biggest liar and lunatic that ever walked the face of the earth. And it would have been nice for this just to be a history lesson. Man, I could have bored him with my history from my church history classes. But I knew this man didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so even though it would have been nice to just be one of the guys, and I couldn't do it. And that doesn't make me a great guy, does it? It just makes it just shows that God is producing fruit. And so I want to challenge you to receive at Fresh Encounter. I want to challenge you to receive from God on a daily basis. I want to challenge you to dig deep and walk in the calling He has on your life. But the evidence and the fruit of that should affect others. It should affect others because Jesus was always about others. And so that's my concern. You know, one of my areas of, I don't know, oversight isn't the right word in the church, but one of my areas is evangelism and outreach. And I believe that, as my good brother Dennis tells me, we take care of the need that's in front of us. In church, you come across people every day that have a need. So it's not just for your sake and your family's sake that you want to cultivate that good soil in your life. It's for others. Because Jesus was always about others. So why don't you stand with me, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. And Dennis, if you want to come forward. Okay. They're doing background music today. But today, for our altar call, if you know that the soil in your life is not receptive, if you know there are things that God has been asking you to give up, if there's unforgiveness or bitterness or even pride that's hindering you, I'm asking you to examine your hearts this morning. I want you to go into this next week of spiritual enrichment, the Fresh Encounter, with good soil, with an open heart, and say, Lord, what do you have for me? Don't put your preconceived ideas behind you. Put them aside and say, Lord, in faith, I want to receive whatever it is you have for me. I love you. God bless you.
Clay and Austin, can you pray for Greg, please? You pray for him. And Joe and Gloria, can you come up and pray for people, please?